Hallelujah. We are blessed again this morning to be able to share our voices together in song. And the question in the song is, how great are you, Lord? And I don't think we ever will, this side of heaven, will know the answer to that question. But we know that He is good. He is God. Hallelujah. He is an awesome God. He is so good. We have opportunity again this morning to look into the scriptures. And you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6. 11 through 18, and the first verse of chapter 7. And as you see up there on the screen, the title of it is The Church. I've titled the message this morning, The Power of the Church. The Power of the Church. And I, one of the things that, as I look at that picture again, and I notice that there with the sheep, that there's so much to understand. And the scripture so many times talks about the church and the flock being the care that is needed from the shepherd. And so recognizing this morning again that Jesus Christ, the shepherd of the church, is the one who leads and guides and directs. And you know, looking at that flock of sheep, they're so defenseless. They have no claws. They have teeth, but they generally don't use their teeth. They're basically defenseless. If a wolf comes in, or if something happens, and I had to think of, Louis gave me a little chuckle last night. I was feeling a little bit down, and I don't know why, just a little bit down in my spirit. And I, for those of you who are familiar with our living room, we have a sofa that sits with the back of the sofa to the foyer there, so the back of it's open. And as I noticed as I walked across the living room there that Louis was crouched behind the sofa waiting to attack when I go past. Jumps out at you. You know, he wants to play. And so he's crouched there waiting, and I took the opportunity to leap over the back of the sofa. And such a hissing and tail up in the air, fluffed up and teeth. And I thought about how that, you know, he has a defense mechanism. And I think sometimes we may find that in ourselves, that when we're surprised or when something happens, that defense mechanism comes out, teeth and claws. But you'll never see that in sheep. And the Bible so references so many times to us being as sheep. Recognizing again that those sheep, they need the shepherd. And recognize that, again, I'm speaking of Jesus Christ, the shepherd, the one who they rely solely on Him for protection. They rely on the shepherd for protection. They rely on the shepherd for food. They rely on the shepherd for care. If they're sick or they're wounded or whatever it is, the shepherd is what gives them care. And that is the way it is for us. And recognizing this morning, as I talk about the power of the church, I believe it's in our understanding, in our recognizing, our knowing that we are solely dependent on God. That it is God is the source of our strength. God is the source of our protection. God is the source of our food. God is the source of our care. It is Him. He is Almighty. And it is in that, in the power of the church, is found when we recognize that God is the one and the only one, and that we need Him. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own. Let me ask a question. Why is the American church losing power? More than ever in our time, at least, I believe that it is time for the church to be functioning in the power of God. Why is it losing power? It seems like it's losing power. And I'm not just talking about the church here. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. Why does it seem like in the time when it is needed the most is when the church is losing power? To experience the full power of the church, we need to see God for who He is and stop viewing the church as some anonymous body. You know, I find it amusing. We as Christians, so many times I've heard people speak of their church and they say, well, our church doesn't take care of widows and the orphans. My question is, do you? Our church doesn't raise hands in the worship time. They don't praise and sing and stuff like that. Do you? Our church isn't bringing saved to Christ. Why not? Do you? Do you see what I'm saying? You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. All of us together are the church. And the strength and the power that comes through recognizing that God Almighty works through each and every one of us is when the church will operate in power, is recognizing God for who He is. What can we as plain Christians do to bring back this departed glory is the question that was asked. What can we as Christians do? Is there some secret to learn? Is there a formula of personal revival or church revival? Is there something you can bring to your own situation? And the answer to that question is yes. And yet the answer to the question is not something that is profound. The answer to the question is yes, there is a formula. Yes, there is something you can do. There's something I can do to bring the power of God back to the church. And it's very simply this. Acquaint yourself with God. Sounds too simple, right? But I believe that when you and I, when we know God, when we see God for who He is, when we experience God in all His glory, the power will come back to the church. Amen? But it's in seeing Him and it's in knowing Him. It's in experiencing Him that the power comes back to the church. And then we won't ask questions about why the church doesn't do what it doesn't do. But we will make a difference because I and you are the church. We're the church. And the great shepherd, it is that leads us. To regain the power of the church, we must see heaven open and a transforming vision of God again. Seeing God for who He is. The power of the church lies in you seeing God, in me seeing God, in us experiencing Him. That's where the power is. It lies in that. Not seeing God as a utility, a utilitarian God. We do not, see, I think that's so much today what is promoted is that God is just a God of a utility. You need Him. You need Him to do this for you. You need Him to do that for you. But to see God for the God that He is, the Almighty God, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who does not seek counsel from princes or kings. He is God. He sits above the circle of the earth. He is God. He is not some utility that we use whenever we need Him. He's not some utility that we come to when we're sick or we're tired or we need something. Let's start knowing God for the God that He is. He's Almighty. He is the King of kings. And He is the Savior who sits above the circle of the earth. And the knowledge of such a God cannot be found by hard study. The knowledge of such a God cannot be found in the books that you read. The knowledge of such a God comes and is freely given. It is freely given to those who yield themselves to Him and give themselves to Him. It is found in that. And I'm going to read a quote from A.W. Tozer. It says this, and it's pretty much what I was saying there. It says, the knowledge of such a being cannot be gained by study alone. It comes by a wisdom that the natural man knows nothing of, neither can know, because it is spiritually discerned. To know God is at once the easiest and the most difficult thing in the world. It is easy because the knowledge is not won by hard mental toil, but is something freely given. As sunlight falls free upon the open field, so the knowledge of the Holy God is a free gift to men who are open to receive it. But this knowledge is difficult because there are conditions to be met, and the obstinate nature of fallen man does not take kindly to them, end quote. It is the easiest thing because it is given by God. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit recognizing, seeing God and experiencing Him for who He is. And is not found in some deep mental toil. It's a gift to you and I to know God. It's a gift. But it can be the most difficult thing because our flesh, in our flesh, we are unwilling to yield ourselves to what God has asked us to do, and that is to separate ourselves from this world. The simplest thing, I shouldn't say simple. We know the trials that come with the whole idea of separation. We know how hard that can be sometimes. To live in this world and not be part of it. To live in this world and not be unequally yoked with it, as we'll read in the scripture here. Let's read together. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. So what was it that was restricting them? It was their own affections that were restricting them. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Then in verse 14 it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and I walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so as I looked at this scripture and I thought about how that if the power of the church is to be demonstrated or is to be utilized, is to make a difference in the world, the first thing is we need to be separate from the world. We cannot be the same as the world. We cannot fit into the world if we are going to make a difference in the world. You don't make a difference when you are like or just act like or do the same things that the world does. And I'm not talking about driving cars or not. In 1 John 2:15 through 16, it says that the world is this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And I've said it before, and I say it again, that in those three things, all the sins of the world are wrapped up in. And if you are unequally yoked with someone who is partaking in those, if you are yoked with someone who is partaking in those types of things or leading you into those types of things, then you are unequally yoked. It doesn't mean, well, let's move on. I'm getting ahead of myself. So starting in verse 11, it says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. And I thought about that as a church, and I thought about the power of the church, and I thought about how that there is, if there is to be power in the church, then we need to be open with each other. Paul said here that we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Then he says, be open with us. Be open with us. And so if we are to experience the power of the church, the power of God, then we need to be open with each other. We need to share with each other. We need to confess our faults one to another and separate ourselves from the world and come out. And if you recognize a need in your life, find someone to share with. Be open. Sin hidden has power. Exposed does not. Hidden sin has power. That's what has been so successful with the whole thing with pornography. That's what has been so successful with the whole thing of sexual immorality, is it stays hidden. You keep it hidden. You don't expose it. You keep it hidden. And there's success in that. It keeps you in bondage. It keeps you bound. If you want to be free this morning and you want to feel the power of God and you want the church to feel the power of God, be able to demonstrate the power of God, get real with each other. Be open with each other. That is where the strength is. God wants to meet with you. He wants to meet you at your darkest, darkest place. And sometimes we need brothers and sisters to help us in that area. Confess your faults one to another. Verse 14, he goes on and says, do not be unequally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I found somewhere that in Deuteronomy 10 or 22:10 it says, do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked to get together. I had found a picture, but there were some copyrights on it. I couldn't put it up here. A picture of a donkey and an ox yoked together. Can you imagine trying to work a team with an ox and a donkey yoked together? It doesn't work. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does that mean? And I'm not going to go into all the details about what that means, but to you this morning, I just may share this, that there are things in this world that we live in, that we are a part of, that we mingle with, okay? Jesus prayed that we would be able to live in this world but not be part of this world. And I think the difference is, okay, there's nothing wrong with belonging to a fire company. And there are people there who are not saved. So is that unequally yoked with an unbeliever? I don't believe so. But I believe the time comes where when you connect yourself to someone and you participate in their getting around laws and stuff. Like if you become a business partner or something like that, and you're asked to cheat on taxes and just doing all kinds of stuff like that, then I believe you're unequally yoked. And I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to spend a lot of time developing that part of it. But do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? He asked the question. And I ask you the same question the scripture does this morning. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? None. None. The answer is none. It does not have fellowship with each other. Righteousness and lawlessness do not fellowship together. They cannot. You cannot be both. You can't be both. And what communion has light with darkness? We know that light and darkness do not mix. Light and darkness do not fellowship together. They cannot. The answer is no, none. They have no fellowship. Darkness and light. When we walk into this room and snap the light on, the darkness always goes. But when you snap the light out, darkness always comes. There is no fellowship of darkness and light. And he goes on, he says, and what accord has Christ with Satan? Belial, or though it was Satan. Pretty simple. What accord does Christ have with Satan? None. None. So why do we think that we can? Why do we think that we can have fellowship? Why can we come to church on a Sunday morning, raise our hands in praise, and yet, during the week, go out and have fellowship with Satan? Verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What is the temple of God? Is it here? Is it this building? No, it's you. It's me. We are the temple of God. And the power of the church is found when you and I see God for who he is. See God as the almighty, holy God that he is, not just somebody to be used. When I stand before God and I see myself in my wretched, sinful nature, It is there that I am able to fall on my knees and say, God, I need help. But when I just arrogantly go through life and declare my own way, then there's no power. There's no power. And in verse 17, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I think that sometimes as I look at the things of this world and what are some of the things that we have embraced, some things that are unclean, obviously money, power, sex. Those are the things that can become unclean, and when we become unequally yoked and we participate in the things of this world, those are the things that we find ourselves bowing down to. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with power in its proper place. Nothing wrong with sex. God created it for a good purpose. But it is the very things that Satan has taken and has created an idol that we bow down to, that we worship, that we make it the thing that we yield or that we give ourselves to, that we pour our whole life into, pour our energy into, and rob ourselves of the power that comes from yielding to God Almighty. The mark of a Christian is separation. He says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will, what? Receive you. I will receive you. So how do we get to know God? How do we see him? How do we experience him in all his glory? First of all, we need to come out and be separate. And then he says, and I will receive you. Now, to not confuse you that you have to get everything right before you're saved, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking to saved people. I'm talking to people who are born again. I'm talking just as Paul was to the Corinthian church. Come out and be separate. You've been born again. You should not be acting like this. God has given a better way. God has given you something. He has made a requirement of you. And to be separate is so important. It says somewhere in Deuteronomy as well that they were not supposed to knit wool and linen together. There was different things that the donkey and the ox weren't supposed to be yoked together. And so I believe it is in God's heart. He really does want us to be separate. He wants us to be separate. Do we minister to these people? Do we live with these people? Do we work with these people? Yes, we do. Do they see a difference? Do they know that you're separate? Do they know that by your life, do they, in watching you, know that you are a different person, that you're a child of God? We see Paul's, there's a lot of background to Paul's life in Scripture. He was a very religious man, and he was careful to keep the letter of the law. He says he kept it to the T. He did everything that was right. He was good by the law. When he met Christ, all of that changed. Not that he changed being good, but all of a sudden, he understood that he was not good without Christ. And so the same place that we are at. He began to serve a new master. We have the story of the prodigal son, how he separated, how he left his father, left his family, and went out and then came to his senses, and he came back, and he left all that old life behind him. Have you separated yourself? You have the maniac in Gadara. I'm not saying it right, but he roamed naked through the tombs and lived as a wild man out of control, and he met Jesus, and Jesus changed him. They found him sitting in clothing in his right mind. He was changed. He was a new person. He was a changed person. He didn't go back to that, what he did. Have you separated yourself from the old man? Have you separated yourself from him? I think it is important, the people that we keep company with, the people that we hang out with, because many a person has started out on a good path, has separated themselves, and then has gone back to affiliating with people who have led them to destruction again. So it is important. The prophet Amos asked the question, can two walk together if they are not agreed? Can two walk together if they're not agreed? It's a matter of influence. Occupations, some of our jobs stand between us and the Lord, and we ought to do something about it. We should be willing to give up anything that hinders us from being a good witness for the Lord. There are many places that we could go as a lost sinner that we cannot go as a Christian. There are many places we could go as a lost sinner, but we cannot go as a Christian. Have I separated myself? Paul talked about this battle between the flesh and the spirit, this constant wrestling with, and this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I believe that all of us probably have struggled with this at one time or another and know exactly what Paul is talking about, this here battle between the flesh and the spirit. You know, my spirit is willing, my flesh, it becomes weak. I understand that. But if the church is going to experience the power of God, it happens, it starts with me. It starts with me. Why should we be separated? The Lord demands it. He says, come out from and be separate. Come out from among them and be separate. And we go on in verse 18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And hallelujah. Wow. That God is willing to say that I will be a father. I will be, you shall be my sons and my daughters. I will be a father to you. If you miss your father, or maybe you had a father that didn't function to the honor and glory of God, God is saying, I'll be a father to you. I will be a father to you. Separate yourself from the world. As he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons. And then here in chapter 7, verse 1, is the action that we are called to. It says this, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And I found that interesting. The flesh, cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh, I understand that. What is the filth of the spirit that we are supposed to cleanse ourselves from? From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, it says. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I don't have a solid answer for you as exactly what it means to, excuse me, the filthiness of the spirit. I don't know. Something for you to look up today. Something for you to look into. I don't have an answer for it. But perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And why? Why is it that God is so interested in us being separate, coming out, being apart from, and being separate from the world? Is that we can experience the power of God. That we can experience the power of God. And the power of the church, again, is found in what? In you and in me. Understanding, seeing God, knowing God, and experiencing God for who He is. That's where the power comes from. That's what will cause us to have a heart's desire to reach out to a lost and dying world. That's what will cause us to have a heart's desire to minister to a brother or sister who is in trouble and is in need. That's what will cause us to get on our knees before God and make Him our Lord and keep our focus on Him when the focus of the world is trying to draw us away. The power of the church lies in you and I knowing God. Reading the scriptures, understanding his word, praying, being yielded to him. And it is in him alone. Because our power depends on it. Sin robs the child of God of his power. Samson, tragic story. Samson was operating under the Spirit of God, and he yielded to his flesh, and the power was taken away from him. Oh, how we need the power of God in our lives. Peter, who had denied Christ 3 times, was ready to go back to his old life, and Jesus came and changed his life and made him a new man. A man was reading the scriptures during a Bible study at church. He read from Acts 16:31 and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he repeated it several times for emphasis. "What must I do to be saved?" He read the scripture, and somebody sitting next to him said, "Go and pay John Williams for the yoke of oxen that you owe him." Are we living a separated life as a mark of a Christian? Not a pious, holier than thou, but are we living a separated life as a Christian? There was a man that was looking for a church, and he was interested in Christianity. He was not saved. He was looking for a place to plug in, and he picked a man from a particular church that he decided to watch his life for a year, and would by that determine whether or not this Christianity really is true or not. And as he observed the life of that man for a year, the man lived a life of integrity and was separated from the world. And he said, "I want that. What must I do to be saved?" And I asked you the question this morning, if someone were to pick you, if someone were to pick me, to be an example, to be what would make the determining factor as to whether or not they would accept Christ, would they accept Christ by your life? Don't blame the church. Do what God has called me to do. Do what God has called you to do. Be a child of God. Be separated from the world. And you know what it is. You know the thing. I don't need to spell out to you the things where we need to be separate from the world. The power of the church lies in it. The church will not have power if we are not separate from the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you, Father, for the time that we are able to spend together here this morning. And Lord, I'm praying this morning for the church. I pray for power for the church. I pray that here at New Covenant, Lord, that we would be able to be living examples of your power, of you, of who you are. God, that we would be able to find that, we'd be able to identify those areas where we have become unequally yoked with unbelievers, and that we would break that yoke. Lord, I pray for strength this morning for the church to stand against the workings of the enemy, because I know, Father, that Satan has so many plans to destroy the church. But I know the strength and the power, and I know that the scripture that says that greater is he that is in you than in he that is in the world. And I know, Father, that for all that have been born again, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, have the power to walk in this world separate from this world, different. Lord, I pray for that strength for the church. I pray, Lord, as we go from this place, that we would be able to be that people, that if someone were to choose us, Lord, to be the example of whether or not they would follow you, that, Lord, we would be those kind of people. God, I pray for the church. I pray for continued strength. I pray for your anointing, Lord, that we would continue to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand together. as the chorister leads us in a closing song. And again, the altar is open this morning. If there's something, some business you want to do with God, come and kneel here. Someone will come pray with you. And following that, consider yourself dismissed.